Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, friends. Welcome to episode 538 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And my name is Kevin Huntsberger. I am the host and founder of My 1-2-3 Cents brand, which started, the brand itself started almost 15 years ago. The podcast, just over 10 years old. And as I mentioned, this is episode 538, counting down to episode 619, 619, in my hopes of getting Rey Mysterio Jr. on as the guest on that particular episode. So working on that, hopefully it will happen. But in the meantime, my usual co-host, friend, buddy of 21 years now, Chad Smart, is actually at AEW Revolution, or getting ready to head to AEW Revolution, the pay-per-view in Los Angeles, not far from where he is. So he is going to be enjoying that. And we'll catch up and talk about that. Probably not on the podcast. Maybe we'll get some highlights, but I'm hoping that maybe sometime in the upcoming week, we're able to sit down and talk more about that. We'll see how our schedules work out and making that happen. But I thought, since I didn't have a human co-host this week, that I would do something a little different. And I, for the first time, in regards to the podcast, have turned to AI, artificial intelligence. Everybody's talking about it, ChatGPT and Gemini and some of the other software and programs out there to kind of assist. I use it at work, full disclosure. And I've used it to generate some ideas and do some other things. Poor Decisions, for example, on the that I am doing beer reviews with now. I've always done beer reviews, but I never had a clever name for it. And so I did put it into ChatGPT, and Poor Decisions was born out of that. So I decided to put in and just ask for some wrestling, or ask for topics for the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. And I didn't put in, you know, because I'm just testing to see how smart AI is. And I did title this week's episode, AI Doesn't Know Everything. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But it gave me a bunch of different topics. And all these topics were like, oh man, these are really good ideas, but things that I would really rather have a co-host to bounce ideas off of with and talk about some of these things. So I'm going to save some of the suggested ideas, because it is WrestleMania season. A lot of them were WrestleMania related. Chad and I have talked a lot about WrestleManias in the past. I'm actually still working on, and maybe by the time this episode drops, something will be announced over in the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook group, which if you haven't joined that, please join. Send a request. It is, you have to get permission or granted to join the group, because when it was a public forum, we were getting all kinds of spammers in there. And so to clear all that out, I deleted all those folks out, or all those profiles out, and have made it a private group. So we're not getting hit with spam on a daily basis. So last year, for the first time, we had the My 1-2-3 Cents Madness Tournament. And that particular year in 2024, we did enhancement talent. We picked out 64 different names in the world of professional wrestling over the last three decades and put them in an enhancement tournament. Leaping Lanny Poffo, by the way, won that. This year, I'm leaning toward doing theme songs, and I'm working on the bracket and all that. So I'm hoping, honestly, I don't know that I'm going to get it done this on Monday, March 10th, but during the week of March 10th, check it out. March Madness, My 1-2-3 Cents Madness will be up and running with the best theme songs of all time. And I put that into AI too. And my favorite was not in there. My favorite wrestling theme song and then my favorite wrestler's theme song. They're two different things. And one day Chad and I will do a Music Mania on wrestling music and theme songs. And I'll explain more about my reasoning behind that. But I decided to go since everything's kind of still buzzing around John Cena and his heel turn. He wasn't on SmackDown. He wasn't on Raw this past week after Elimination Chamber. I guess they've announced that he will be at Raw on March 17th in Brussels. So we'll have to tune in for that. I kind of like the idea of him not showing up and not being there to explain his actions. It kind of furthers that tension, that friction from the fans. I think it's a good move. We're waiting with anticipation now. We're still talking about it. We're still wondering, what are his motives? What's he going to do? What's he going to say? How are things going to turn out as we are still 6 weeks, I believe, away from WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas? So I'm excited about that. I'm hoping to have some WrestleMania-related announcements as the event gets closer. I am going to be doing some things coming up very soon on Whatnot. So once I know all of that, I'll have the information posted on the My123Cents Facebook page. That's always kind of the go-to spot for us. So if you are a new listener or you have listened and haven't followed or liked the Facebook page, I invite you to do that. And then I invite you to join the Facebook group. Two different things, but both on Facebook. We, of course, have the Twitter and Instagram pages as well. But I decided to pop into AI. When I say AI, I'm talking specifically about ChatGPT. I didn't try any other sites because I just wanted to kind of get this and run with it. So I said, what are the greatest heel turns of all time in pro wrestling? And ChatGPT defines a great heel turn in wrestling that can change the course of a career and even an entire company. Now, here are some of the greatest heel turns of all time in pro wrestling history. And then it lists 10 of them. I'm gonna tell you what ChatGPT says, and then I'm going to react to some of them and then throw, because I don't agree with this top 10 list. And again, it's all subjective. It's all kind of what we think, what we grew up with, what sticks with us, what resonates with us, because the three that I have on my list that didn't make this list happened, you know, one of them was more than 40 years ago, and the other two were close to 40 years ago. So I get it. This is a more modern, up-to-date list, probably, from ChatGPT. Let's start at the bottom and work our way up to the top 10, and then I'll probably go into more details on some of these as we scroll through and read them. Number 10, it puts as Chris Jericho destroys Shawn Michaels through the Jeritron 8 in 2008. I remember this, but I didn't think Jericho was a face when this happened. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I thought he was a heel. Chris Jericho was already a heel when he did this to Shawn Michaels, but maybe he wasn't. And maybe that's what made it so significant. But it led to a great feud. But to me, it wasn't one of those things that stood out as something I would have remembered if I were coming up with great heel turns. Excuse me as I take a drink. Number 9. Now, this was a decent one. Triple H betraying DX and joining the corporation in 1999. 99 was a very interesting year in pro wrestling. It's, you know, from 96, really, 97, 98, the Monday Night War is in full swing. And in 99, I think things were starting to kind of, you know, wheels coming off everywhere, WCW and WWF at the time. Triple H was, of course, part of DX, and he ends up selling out. And then this is really the kind of the rise of Triple H as the company's top heel and kind of had that hold for many, many years to come after that. So is it top 10 worthy? Probably so. I think it set a very interesting trajectory for Triple H. And of course, then the future of WWE and what we know of it today. So interesting turn of events. But I am going to take that Chris Jericho one off of the top of my personal top 10. Number 8, Ric Flair turns on Sting. I mean, this happened a lot. Ric Flair and Sting had a noted rivalry starting back in 1988 at the very first Clash of the Champions. to compete with WrestleMania 4. They needed a good solid match to compete with the big juggernaut of WrestleMania, and I think they succeeded with that. But Flair was pretending to be Sting's ally. I think this was in a tag team match. It was on Monday Nitro, so this had to be the early days of Nitro, or it was the early days of Nitro. If I remember correctly, I think it was Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman against Sting and Ric Flair, and Flair turned somewhere along the way in that match. I don't know that it was significant enough to be in a top 10, but it was, you know, typical Flair. Flair, in my opinion, was always better as the heel, no matter what the circumstances, he just was. And I think he also agrees with that sentiment. Number seven is CM Punk turning on The Rock at Raw 1000. Punk had been WWE champion for over 250 days, but cemented his heel status when he attacked The Rock on Raw 1000. And his best in the world persona took a darker edge, leading to a major feud with the Great One. See, I thought Punk was already heel at this time as well. So I don't know. Was he? Help me remember this. This was 2012. I know we had Summer of Punk the summer before where he seemingly was the heel, but then he kind of turned, or, you know, fans were cheering for him. And so I'm a little confused. I think Punk was already a heel here too. So again, this is why I say AI does not know everything, because I think they're wrong on this one too. I think the Jericho and now Punk, I think Punk was already a heel. And it even says he cemented his heel status and went in on a darker edge, but I could be wrong. Correct me though, folks, if I am wrong. Number six, this was a good one. Bret Hart's anti-USA turn. I think this was a great double turn, probably the best double turn in the history of professional wrestling. Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's WrestleMania 13 in Chicago. It's the I Quit match. And Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out, even though he technically lost, comes out an even bigger hero, and Bret Hart an even bigger douchebag. And that 97 run for them, I think that really is one of those elements that helped start to turn the tide for WWE. It was a great story. And even though it wasn't like necessarily the highlight, or not the highlight, but the top of the card, you know, we were getting Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker and some other things that were going on there. And it was a good run for Bret Hart, probably some of his, if not his best work, in my opinion, was that 1997 anti-USA heel work that he was doing, you know, getting booed here in the United States, but then going to Canada or Europe or wherever else and being cheered. Number five on the list goes back to 1987, and it is Andre the Giant aligning with Bobby the Brain Heenan to challenge Hulk Hogan. At the time, how old was I? 87, 13, 12, 13 years old, 13 years old. This was big. This was a big move, a bold move, because Andre the Giant had been so beloved and so popular. He was in The Princess Bride. He had won the Battle Royal at the previous year's WrestleMania. You know, he was probably the second biggest, and not just in size, but he was the biggest, but if you go by fans and appreciation and whatnot, he was huge. He was so popular and so beloved worldwide, a recognizable name and face beyond just the wrestling universe. And so seeing him turn heel and turning bad and aligning with Bobby Heenan, of all people, someone that he had feuded very violently with in the years preceding this, it was a big shocker, and it definitely belongs in the top 10, belongs in the top five. I would also put it in the top five for sure. It was just, again, one of those moments that looking back on it, watching it as a kid, did not see coming. But with the benefit of hindsight and watching or listening to the OVP, Our Vantage Point, Retro Wrestling Podcast, they've gone back and they're watching every episode of Superstars. And before that, it was Championship Wrestling. But they go back and watch every week. And the signs were there with Heenan and Andre aligning. I just didn't notice it as a kid. Now as an adult, I feel like with the perspective, but I think it would have been a little more, I don't want to say obvious, but it wouldn't have been as a shock, I think, at watching that through an adult's eyes versus as a teen or tween's eyes. This is another good one that I had kind of forgotten about, and that is number four, Seth Rollins betraying the Shield in 2014. That was a good angle and a good story. I feel like, though, the Shield was just that group that was, I almost feel like they broke them up too soon. Inevitably, not every time, but whenever you get a group, a faction, a tag team, and they grow in popularity and become strong, inevitably you're going to start making changes to it or breaking it up. Someone turns heel, someone gets hurt, someone gets, you know, kicked out of the group or whatever the case may be. We saw it with the Four Horsemen back in the day with Ole Anderson and then Lex Luger. And then, you know, they just start rotating one player out. The Shield, though, you know, it pretty much disbanded. They did a couple of times where they came back together, but that breakup in 2014 was legendary. You know, Seth Rollins whacking Roman Reigns in the back with the chair, and then the look of shock and disappointment and sadness on Dean Ambrose's face. It's just one of those moments that definitely one I had mildly forgotten about because the Shield, of course, came in as bad guys, but then they worked and fans just started liking them, started cheering for them, and they end up turning and or Seth Rollins ends up turning and joining forces with Triple H and everyone else. This one, I understand why it's on the list. It's number three. I did not like it at all from a storyline perspective. Stone Cold Steve Austin sells his soul to Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 17. You know, that blood feud between Austin and McMahon, and then all of a sudden Austin stands in the ring, shakes hands with McMahon at the end of WrestleMania 21 or WrestleMania 2001 at WrestleMania 17. I didn't like it. I felt like the Austin character, it didn't work. And granted, by this point, you know, we were what, four plus years or almost 4 years, 3 years-ish into the Austin McMahon feud. So maybe it needed some freshening up. Maybe Austin's character needed a fresh coat of paint. Then we kind of head down that treacherous road. Here's what I think would have made this, in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, a better run. And I understand that you have the golden goose in Steve Austin. Stone Cold Steve Austin is the hottest commodity in pro wrestling, especially in 2021. You know, he had, you know, with the Attitude Era and the new records were being set and all of this stuff was happening. So I understand why you maybe wouldn't want to change the persona. And this is going to be what's interesting with the John Cena turn and what we're going to see appearance wise. And I'm curious. I cannot wait until next Monday on March 17th to see him on Raw, to see what has changed. If anything, does he have a new look? Does he have new clothes? Is he dressing differently? Is he behaving differently? How is this heel turn going to go? Because I think if he's going to be effective, he can't come out and still continue, if you're watching on YouTube, to look like this with the baseball cap and the jorts and the wristbands and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. Austin, he stayed the same, essentially. And I think part of that was because I don't necessarily think he wanted to turn heel. And I get that the look, the black, the bald head, the goatee, the Austin 316. I get that you want to keep all, it's a brand, it's a market. People loved it. People resonated to it. It changed the face of wrestling for a long time. I know he couldn't probably grow his hair back out. That's why he had shaved his head. But I think embracing going back to that stunning Steve persona, because he aligned then with the WCW and ECW crowd. So I would have had him go more back to those roots of WCW, to where even if he's wearing a wig, and maybe that would have gotten him more heat if he was wearing the wig and just kind of being that pompous, you know, over the top, you know, he's a bit more flamboyant, not overly flamboyant, but he wore brighter colors and, you know, during the stunning Steve era, you know, and Paul Heyman was his manager in in EC or in WCW. So Paul Heyman was leading part of the charge with this invasion angle. So I feel like it would have made more sense, or maybe would have become a bigger, more impactful turn. Because I don't think he stayed heel very long. I think by the end of Survivor Series, so just a few short months later, he was back to being cheered. So Shawn Michaels makes number two here, which I think this one, I don't know that I'd put it at number two, because as a fan, and again, I was a freshman in college. I was 18 years old when this one happened. Of course, the infamous Shawn Michaels super kicking Marty Jannetty and then throwing him through the window of the barbershop. We had seen the dissension building up for weeks, maybe months prior to the actual turn. So we knew it was coming. It was inevitable, right? I mean, I knew as an 18-year-old watching that Shawn Michaels was going to, I didn't know how brutal it was going to be. And I didn't know what kind of superstar Shawn Michaels was going to become. He ends up becoming one of the all-time greats, whereas Marty Jannetty kind of slid off and into oblivion. And I think that obviously there were other issues at play with that, but definitely a good lasting heel turn, one that people still talk about to this day, see memes and clips of it all the time on social media. So definitely one of the greatest. Number one, according to ChatGPT, easy for me to say, is Hulk Hogan, of course, joining the NWO, Bash at the Beach. I'm trying to remember, you know, by 96, I'm in my mid-20s. Well, maybe early 20s, 23. I'm going to count in those early. I thought, who is that third man? There was all kinds of mystery and debate, speculation, you know, depending on if you're reading the dirt sheets. And by this time, I wasn't reading dirt sheets, but I was looking at the pro wrestling chat groups and was it rec.sports? Dot pro wrestling or some pro dot wrestling, something like that. It was like a online forum and people were posting and being speculative. And of course, we know the names like Mabel and Yokozuna. I think even Bret Hart, because this was, of course, during Bret Hart's absence from WWE. So Hogan was a bit of a surprise for me, but it was something that definitely, and it's been talked to death, but it was something that needed to happen. So I think that they definitely made the right move with it being Hogan and Hogan getting on board and being a part of that. I think ended up being best for business. It lit everything on fire. And I wonder what wrestling would have looked like had Hogan not joined the NWO, because I don't think anyone else could have played that third man role and made it as effective. I mean, Hogan was the biggest name at that time in professional wrestling. He was being booed a lot. And it just made sense from a business perspective to make him that third man, that heel, who then became the cool heel. And again, you know, that evolution, that all happens as well. And I think we'll probably see some of that happen with John Cena too. ChatGPT also offered some honorable mentions, which if you notice that list I just read, there's no mention of John Cena and Cody Rhodes in there. No mention at all. So honorable mentions. I thought, well, it'll show up in the honorable mentions. Randy Orton RKO's Evolution. Orton was booted out of Evolution after winning the WWE title, but later turned into a vicious heel himself. See, I don't think that was a heel turn. He was already a heel when Evolution turned on him. So I don't like that as an honorable mention. Again, ChatGPT AI does not know everything. Vince McMahon screws Bret Hart at the Montreal Screwjob. Yes, Vince had still been, I think he had just recently given up commentary, but at that point was still, you know, the good guy, if you will. And then Bayley's heel turn in 2019, once the ultimate babyface, Bayley shocked fans by attacking Becky Lynch and adopting a new ruthless persona. I agree. And again, that's where I came in with the persona thing with Austin. You know, Bayley went from the ponytail on the top of her head, the hugs, the bright colored t-shirts, and she became more subdued, had that, for lack of a better word, Karen haircut, and was just kind of, you know, nasty and mean. And so that's according to ChatGPT. And so it asks, you know, what stands out to you the most? What others should be on the list? And so I said, where is John Cena turning on Cody Rhodes on this list? And this is where I feel like the response was interesting. If John Cena were to turn on Cody Rhodes, it would instantly be one of the greatest heel turns of all time, no question. Cena turning heel at this stage of his career, especially by betraying someone as beloved as Cody, would be wrestling history in the making. And that's all in bold. If WWE pulled the trigger on it, here's why it would be legendary. Cena has never truly turned heel since becoming Super Cena. Fans have waited nearly two decades for this. It would mirror Hogan's NWO turn. Cena, much like Hogan, was the face of the company for years. A shocking betrayal would shake up WWE. Cody is WWE's biggest babyface right now. Cena taking him down would generate nuclear heat, especially if it cost Cody the title. And finally, it says it would freshen up Cena's legacy. At this point, Cena has done it all except a full-fledged, ruthless heel run. If it were to happen, where would you rank it in the top three greatest heel turns of all time? Again, I'm recording this and put all this information in on March 9th, 2025, 8 days after the Elimination Chamber, 8 days after we saw John Cena kick Cody Rhodes square in the nuts and beat the crap out of him, bloody him up with a Rolex watch. So if that ain't a heel turn, brother, I don't know what is. It's what the world is still a week plus later talking about. So again, AI doesn't know everything. And I'm not here to dog AI, even though it can defend itself and it has no idea what I'm doing. Now, I will give AI credit for this. It said honorable mention future possibility, John Cena turns on Cody Rhodes. If it actually happens, it could push the way into the top three. Cena's long-awaited heel turn would be on the level of Hogan's NWO Shocker. So again, it is still not reading this as Cena turning heel. And I know AI, ChatGPT, scours the internet, scours information, and comes up with these answers and whatnot. So I don't know how or why it's not picking up on the fact that John Cena has, in fact, already turned heel. I think it's definitely top three. We're only a week into this, so I want to see where it goes, but I could see it surpassing Hogan turning heel and joining the NWO. Chad, and I talked about this last week on the podcast. I'm still waiting to see my initial reaction to it. I feel like I was more surprised by this than by Hogan, even though I know I mentioned that there were some other possibilities. With Hogan, as soon as I saw him come down the ramp, I knew, even before Bobby Heenan said what he said, I knew Hogan was the third man. With John Cena, it wasn't until that hug, although I told Chad last week, you know, when Cena took advantage of Seth Rollins stomping on CM Punk and then making Punk tap out, I thought something that I'm like, this isn't characteristic of Cena. And it really wasn't until that embrace and the look on Cena's face that I thought it's over. And I caught up with everyone else. And I know other people saw it coming. I didn't. And that's what I like about pro wrestling. I like that element of surprise. At nearly 52 years old, I love being surprised by what is happening in the ring. And that's why, you know, dirt sheets and, you know, as I said, AI doesn't know everything. The dirt sheets don't know everything. But I don't like getting the spoilers. So I think the Cena turn was a great, great orchestrated thing. But let's see where it goes from here. Definitely top three, and it may be the number one after the next couple of weeks. Here are three honorable mentions that I would have had on that top 10 list. The Macho Man Randy Savage turning on Hulk Hogan. Yes, it's another one that I saw coming as a fan. You know, I was in high school at this time, almost 16. I can remember watching the implosion or the explosion of the Mega Powers on the main event. But the little hints that they built up to that with the Royal Rumble, you know, Hogan eliminates the Macho Man. And Savage is pissed and gets in his face, and then Elizabeth calms him down and Savage leaves. And then there were little things. I think it was a Saturday Night's Main Event. Something had happened. And so there were little hints being dropped that Savage was going to turn. And of course, when he did, it was big. And then it ends up being one of, in that era, I think it was that. It's a huge WrestleMania payoff with Hogan and Savage. A great legendary feud that lasted. You know, they feuded briefly before Savage turned face, and then, of course, afterward. And then again in WCW. So just one for the ages, Hogan and Savage. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff turning on Hulk Hogan. We're noticing a trend here, a theme here. Hogan's losing his friends, Andre the Giant, the Macho Man Randy Savage, and, of course, Paul Orndorff. That one, too, was one that I think, you know, as a teenager, seeing this kind of shaking out and figuring out, okay, where this is going. Of course, it was Wrestling Championship Wrestling. Tag team match, Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff against King Kong Bundy and Big John Studd. You know, you're thinking, okay, everything's fine. They've worked out their issues, but oh, no. Orndorff turns on Hogan, which I think also then ultimately leads to Rowdy Roddy Piper turning babyface, which I think is one of the, and maybe one day we'll do a greatest babyface turns of all time. That was one of my favorites, if not favorite babyface turn. Another one I added to the list, and I'm not 100% sure if I'm right on this one, that was the Freebirds turning on the Von Erichs. Now, I know 1982, and this was actually the match that kind of hooked me as a fan. It was Kerry Von Erich and Nature Boy Ric Flair for the NWA Heavyweight Championship inside a steel cage. Michael Hayes is the special guest referee. Terry Gordy is outside. And I think the Birds were aligned with the Von Erichs because Michael Hayes tried to help Kerry win, and Kerry didn't want to cheat. And so as Kerry then pushes him back or whatever and then goes to the cage, Bam Bam Gordy slams the cage shut on Kerry's head, leading to Flair winning it. And then that ignites one of my favorite feuds of all time, the Freebirds versus the Von Erichs. It was a legendary feud, a legendary time. But, you know, there are other shocking heel turns that came along the way. I think Jake the Snake Roberts in 91 turning, you know, against the Ultimate Warrior, putting him through those challenges and those tests, because Jake was very popular. He had been in that feud with the model Rick Martel and then feuding with Earthquake after Earthquake smashed Damien. But I think some would argue, I almost feel like Jake I liked better as a face, but he was good as a heel. He was damn good as a heel. Jake's one of those guys that could do both and do it well. And not everyone can do that effectively and be that guy that you hate, but then the guy that you love and embrace. And I think that Jake is a master at that. Hogan did a good job with it too. I think his initial red and yellow run and then the black and white run, two legendary runs as a heel and as a babyface. But those are just a few that came to my mind as I looked at this list. I didn't go and do any other research or look up anything else. So I'm probably leaving names and feuds off or faces and heels off of this list. So I want to hear from you. That's where you come in. I want to know who you think had some of the better heel turns in pro wrestling history. What are some of the greats that we've seen? I know I probably nailed several of them, but I know that I'm also probably missing several of them. So let me know in the comments. You can weigh in on YouTube. You can weigh in at jitterymonkey.com. You can also check out any of the social media platforms. Find me, Kevin Huntsperger, or my 123 cents, and let me know what your 123 cents is on heel turns in professional wrestling. Thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.